Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarts and Stripes Podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz, and I am joined by the referee himself, the former WWE referee, the Stripes of Smarks and Stripes, Kevin Keenan. How are you today, Kevin? Enjoying that donut?
What's up?
we're coming out.
Dude, they have Eagles donuts.
They're really good.
In the lobby.
They're actually really good. God knows how long they've been sitting here, but
I don't care.
Dunkin' Donuts, because they're still fresh.
I don't care. These are really good.
I just had one and devoured it. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the biggest weeks, really, in recent wrestling history, I would say. We've crowned a new AEW champion.
A lot has happened.
Just a lot of news has happened. So we're going to dive right into it with, I don't know, the biggest story in wrestling happened after AEW's All Out pay-per-view. Chris Jericho is the very first AEW World Heavyweight Champion. He's going out to celebrate with a little bit of the bubbly.
I love every bit of the bubbly.
Every single bit is so good. I might try to play some on my phone into the mic later. We'll see how that works. But he's going out to celebrate, Kev, and the AEW World Heavyweight Championship stolen out of his limo. How? First of all, the fact that he's the very first champ and he's got a limo, he's going out to celebrate, and he goes to freaking Longhorn Steakhouse. That's his big, a chain, C-level steakhouse is his big. I know you guys love your Cracker Barrel. You love your Waffle House. Oh, yeah. But how is this where are going to celebrate your world heavyweight? Let's start there. Longhorn one of the big stops for the boys?
Did I mention there's Dunkin' Donuts out there with Eagles logos on them?
Yeah,
my God.
I'm doing my intro here and trying to stretch so Kev can get his donut in. But is Longhorn, this is just for me, because if I just became the inaugural champion of a company owned by a family of billionaires, and I am a legit millionaire, rock star, superstar like Chris Jericho, I'm going to freaking Del Frisco's. I ain't going to Longhorn. Is this one of the big stops for the boys? It just bothered me. It's not a Waffle House. That's what.
Sure. I mean, look, if he's wanting a halfway decent meal and that's what he saw, sure. But I mean, it's not like an absolute must go to type of thing. Like I would do a Longhorn, but who's to say he was out celebrating? Yeah, apparently, you know. He might have been out celebrating the night before. Who's to say that was?
I just thought it was funny.
You know, I don't know, but it's amazing that the biggest story coming out of All Out was not the fact that there's a brand new first ever AEW champion,
Chris Jericho, legit. Superstar, one of an all-time wrestling legend. I mean, a guy who made his name during the Attitude Era, has reinvented himself how many times over. This is a big deal. I feel bad because it's such
this overshadowed the first ever championship title win.
Did you at any point think it was a work?
No, I really
didn't.
Because
you know how I think.
No,
I think everything's a work.
No, I didn't. I don't foresee AEW going through the Tallahassee Police Department and filing a false report just to get publicity, because I mean the consequences of doing such is the risk isn't worth the reward here.
I think Mike Johnson put that on his website.
Oh, did he?
Hey, if you don't know what filing a false report means, that's a crime. Mm-hmm. Unless they have the police in on it, which seems like a whole lot for this. And then as it wraps up, it's like, hey, we found the belt. Good job, everybody. Like, it didn't turn out to be any sort. Like, my first thought is, oh, Mox has it. Like, that's what I'm thinking. But as the story unfolds, it's like, no, he legit just lost the belt.
I think he switched up luggage or he grabbed the wrong suitcase or something like that.
Yeah, it's just...
Which makes me wonder, Chris, why are you checking the belt?
Yeah, that's a carry-on, right?
Yeah, we always carry the belt, brother. You know, come on, man.
No, I'm just thinking, like, of all the shots of...
Flair used to carry the belt onto the plane, like, not even put it in his bag. He would carry the belt in the bag.
And I've heard...
On the plane.
I've heard a lot of the boys say, like, and it depends on your level of stardom. Like, you know, Dave Bautista probably doesn't want to be carrying the belt. But if you're, like, a guy just trying to get a little bit of, rub, or honestly, impress the TSA so they don't pull you aside, hey, I'm the champ. I've heard that. But I can't, like, checking it, that seems like a bad move, because... We've all traveled. Checking a bag sucks. When you get your bag right away, it sucks.
Well, you never want to check the belt or your gear, because if your gear gets lost, I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes they make you, and you're at the mercy of the airlines, of course. But if you lose your bag, if you check your bag and you lose your gear, what are you working in that night?
Are you going?
You're borrowing gear, or you're going to...
You're going Baron Corbin? You're just gonna...
You're going to Dick's, and, like, I don't know what you do.
Have you ever seen anyone, like, go to Dick's and get a singlet?
No,
a house show or something, like amateur gear?
Not that I can remember off the top of my head.
That's funny. Like, I would love to see all of a sudden some guy come out and just be in, like, legit amateur wrestling
gear.
It has to have happened at some point.
It's not something that happens all too often.
Yeah.
But while we're on Jericho, I do want to ask you, what did you think about AEW's decision to put the belt on him as the first ever champion?
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Makes total sense.
I don't know, unless you were going to go like Omega or Cody, Jericho here is your headliner. He's the name everyone knows.
Of course.
And if we're, you know, we've talked more so in our group chat than on the show about how they're going to try to attract, the casual fan. Listen,
and the casual fan knows who Chris Jericho
is.
We
know who Kenny Omega is, and
sure,
he's legit one of the biggest names outside of the mainstream.
And this is no disrespect to Kenny Omega, but if we walk down the street on Market Street out there, someone's going to know Chris Jericho before they know Kenny Omega.
Yeah, 100%. And when we're talking about, you have the built-in story of, hey, he was on TNT and didn't get the push. There's a lot of different ways you can take it. I really like what AEW is doing with this. On Saturday, however, there was a show before All Out. It was the NXT UK mm-hmm. TakeOver Cardiff show. We did a post-game reaction. We watched it basically live and then recorded. What did you think of the two shows on the same day? How did you think they compared?
I don't know that there's necessarily a comparison. I mean, AEW is in their very early stages. NXT is an established product. Now, you can also sit here and make the argument that it's not NXT, it's NXT UK, mm-hmm. and yada, yada, yada. So I don't know that there's necessarily a comparison deal there. What I will say for NXT UK is I do think there's a match of the year candidate in Walter and Tyler Bate, which main evented that pay-per-view.
Very much so. You can listen. We recorded it last Saturday, so it's right there in the archives, as Conrad would say. But listen to that. It was real good. But just AEW, I thought, I've been fanboying about AEW. Mm-hmm. I will say I feel like the two shows should have switched formats. Like, I wanted way more. I just want, it worked for us because it was like a 2.5 hour show. It was real easy. It was digestible for what we were doing. I just wanted way more from NXT UK, and I thought it could have been like less. You could have gotten more with less from AEW. Like, make your top guys in the AEW show, and that's it. We don't need 11 matches or whatever the hell it was.
Well, yeah, you don't need 11 matches.
Once they're on TV, sure, do the 3+ hour pay-per-views.
But they're not yet. And that's the problem. And that's one of the issues. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with them in this mindset.
I didn't think it was bad.
Well,
no.
Because everybody should. You should present everybody as a star.
Yeah.
You should present your product as such, and everybody should be presented as a star. the harsh reality is there's very few stars right now in AEW. It's not to say when they get this TNT thing rocking and rolling that some of these guys aren't going to become superstars. That's not to say that. But right now, there's very few stars to present in the company, and that's something they're going to have to build on.
The Chris Jericho noted in his podcast that Kenny Omega was unhappy with his match. It got cut. They just didn't have enough time. I don't know if it got cut, but they just didn't have enough time. They went 23-20. Man, this seems like a thing with AEW. I know.
And that's not enough time?
They didn't, to get in everything. Like, first, how much are you pre-planning? Like, I get it. There's a lot more scripting than ever. But, man, I just kind of...
Hold on. Time out. What?
This seems like an issue with AEW when they're constantly having to cut matches and guys complaining about not having enough time.
How much more time do you need? Do you need the whole pay-per-view?
You know Omega likes his 40-plus minutes, and he's coming from a format where he could always get it.
Yeah, well, guess what? He's not going to ever have that format here on live television. And I've said this before. I'll say it again. This is the problem AEW is going to face going into live TV. There's four guys right now on the roster. Four. And I can maybe stretch it to six, seven, possibly. But for argument's sake, let's say there's four who know how to work live TV.
Yeah.
When you have live TV and you need to know what business you need to accomplish in a certain amount of time, or let me rephrase that. You need to know what business you need to accomplish no matter what, should your time get cut. So I don't care if you show up to a building and have 12 minutes. So you really have 10 because you have a minute for maybe even 9.5 because you want to frame it for where you have a minute for each entrance and whoever's going over, you want to have 30 seconds on the back end for that glory shot. So you want to have 9:30, right?
Yeah, so when we're talking about 23:20, that's bell time. So they had over 25 minutes for the full presentation.
Well, hold on. So I started to make the point. Yeah. You have to – so say – that's what you're told all day and you plan for that and you're building to a pay-per-view and you know you're going over this with your producer and yada yada yada, you're doing the whole thing. Well, let's say the first segment went heavy and now you're the second segment. Okay, you now have to shave 4 minutes off. You still have that pay-per-view to sell, you still have that match to sell, you still have that merchandise to sell, you still have to hold the viewer. You still have to make them tune in next week to see what's going to happen because of what happened this week. And you have to know how to do that. Kenny Omega right now may be the best in the world, but he doesn't know how to work TV. He's admitted that. So yeah. It's not anything. It's not a knock on Omega. But if you're going to be visibly upset after coming back from a pay-per-view match and having 24 minutes and you didn't get everything in one, that is unequivocally everything that's wrong with the wrestling business today. And B, what are you going to do when you only have 12 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes on a TNT television show? It's going to be interesting. And unless somebody gets a hold of these guys, and look, they have fantastic producers who have all been there, done that.
Yeah, their behind the scenes hires have been smart.
They have Billy Gunn. He's fantastic. He's amazing. They have Arn Anderson.
Arn. That's all you got to say. Whatever. Is Arn Anderson.
You don't have any. Yeah. There's nothing else to say. Dean Malenko. Nothing else to say. There might be one that I'm missing or two that I'm missing. Whatever. With any luck, these guys need to get to these guys very, very soon. And it feels like I'm ragging on Omega here. I'm not, I'm just using him as the example. Kenny Omega is very, very, very good at what he does. I have no doubts in my mind that he can pick up this style and this television. You can work any style you want, and it's still a television format.
Yeah.
You still have to fall in line with the television style, no matter what style of in-ring work you have. And some of these guys are going to have a very, very rude awakening.
Yeah, and I feel like, just think, I very much agree. Like, I love, I'm excited for what AEW is going to be. I love Omega. But it is going, if 23 minutes, 23 plus minutes isn't enough, it just seems like this is a theme. I've heard it several times now with AEW pay-per-views. The top guy, like the Bucks a couple of pay-per-views ago, were like, oh, we didn't have enough time to get everything in. I get it. You want to have the match of the year, but sometimes you just have to tell your story and move on. One thing that also came out today, it was announced on Twitter earlier tonight, at the next AEW pay-per-view, it'll be their first pay-per-view with television supporting it in Baltimore, full mm-hmm. gear on November 9th, mm-hmm. we're going to get Cody and Jericho for the title.
Okay.
First, what do you think of announcing that before television starts?
I don't necessarily see the benefit of it when you have TV to build that match. Now, of course, you have TV to build that match going in. We understand that, but to me, it loses its effect and loses its luster. Knowing this is what I'm going to see going into the television show, I would have rather been. My own personal opinion, I mean, different flavors of ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. I would have personally would have liked to seen that happen organically throughout the television show and a build to that pay-per-view. But, you know, AEW's doing things differently, as we're seeing.
And
like, you know, who knows? This could all be part of a grander plan. I don't know. And that's what's going to make me watch.
Yeah, and I don't hate it. I don't think it's dumb. Like, all right, we're going to go in, hit the ground running with TV with only a month to build. It's not like we're building off some previous storyline. It's like, all right, TV's starting here. A lot of our fans are picking it up. They already know. All right, yeah, Chris Jericho, I know this guy, mm-hmm. and he's the champ. This makes sense. Cody, I watched him on WWE. He's got the famous last name, and right away he's the number one contender, so I know he's a big deal too. I don't hate it. Traditional wrestling, one storyline goes into the next, and you build that way. But since it starts on October 2nd, and then they have a November 9th pay-per-view,
there's a full month there, and that's fine. Yeah. But again, for me, for my money, I would have liked to have seen it happen. Started on the very first night on October 2nd on TNT. But I would have liked to have seen it happen in front of my eyes, not telling me this is what's going to go down.
Is Cody Jericho the best match to lead off their main event? This is the first pay-per-view with TV supporting it. We already said we like Jericho as the champ. Is Cody and Jericho the best main event we could be asking for?
Well, yeah, because it's the top two names in the company, the most recognizable names, arguably, and we don't know what Mox's status is yet. We're going to get to that in a second, but for right out of the gate for the first pay-per-view with TV and everything like that, I feel like that's the best road that they could go down. Is it the best match for where they are right now? Probably not. I'm okay with this, provided Jericho goes over.
Yeah, I definitely don't want Jericho to drop the title 1 month in. And Turtle complains all the time, and I don't necessarily disagree. I just think he oversells it. But, like, if Cody, the whatever you want to CFO or whatever the hell he is champ 1 month in, it's just like, all right, man, smashing that Triple H throne was really, it was poetic, huh?
Right.
And you're going to be him. Even if that's not what's happening, it still feels that way to me, you know? One more thing on All Out, and then we'll start to move on a little. What the hell was it? Oh, Dave Meltzer has been making the point online that because the show was so long and because the ladder match with the Bucks and the Lucha Bros was so freaking over the top crazy, there was no way for the title match to be able to hook the live crowd the way it needed to, building a story, having a traditional wrestling match rather than the craziness of freaking Bucks ladder match. And so the title, if you really wanted to feature it and get the spotlight on it and get the crowd reaction you wanted, should have been featured earlier in the show, and the ladder match should have gone on last. Where do you fall on that?
It amazes me, after all these years, that Dave Meltzer still doesn't understand how this works. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dave Meltzer is an idiot. Dave Meltzer has made a living for many, many years, a very nice one.
Oh, yeah.
Off of reporting wrestling, something he physically can't do and has never done. Now, I'm not going to begrudge him of how he made a living. That's fine.
Oh, he's over. And great. That's, you know, no problem. Everyone's trying to get over.
But you would hope after 20, 25 years, whatever it's been, that he would pick up a little nugget of how this thing actually works. So what Dave Meltzer is trying to tell me is he's trying to tell me to get the spotlight on the first ever AEW championship title match. We're going to crown a new champion here. We should put it early in the show. I don't know. Where should we put it? Third? Should we put it fourth? Let's have an intermission too. Let's put it on popcorn match while people are still in the bathroom. I don't understand what that means. Look, I have a lot of love for the Young Bucks. A lot of love for Nick and Matt. They were not the main attraction of that show.
But we have seen, and Vince does it all the time, title doesn't always go on last.
But it doesn't matter here, because this is a different situation. This is the first. This is the inaugural. This is the first time ever we are going to crown an AEW champion. Chris Jericho is the biggest name on this show. He's the most marketable. He is who people are coming to see. He is their top guy, which is why he has the title to begin with. That match only ever had one spot, and that's going on last. I don't care if the Young Bucks did Meltzer drivers off the top of the goddamn arena. I don't care. It's not about following what the Young Bucks did, because you're never going to be able to follow those guys.
No, and
those guys are fantastic. They do what they do. They just, you're never going to be able to do it. But the AEW heavyweight title match needed to be on last. It always needed to be on last. Chris Jericho is a bigger star than anyone else on that show.
Absolutely.
And to crown him AEW champion, anywhere else on the show, that moment would have gotten lost.
I just, for the viewing audience on television, it's a little different. You can sit through it, and most people, like, I didn't watch a show live, you know, I went back so I can fast forward and watch it in any order I want to watch it in. I've gone, and, you know, I own an FDM shirt. It's not like I'm some Meltzer fanboy or anything. I'm not one of those people. I just don't necessarily disagree with him because, first of all, I just watched, like, the 91 Survivor Series last night, and Hogan was in the middle of the show, so, like, it's freaking Hogan.
What was on last?
I can't even remember. It's like some nonsense. But I think because of the emotional drain, it's not even about who the Bucks are or anything. Jericho, obviously the bigger star. It's the emotional drain that match has on the audience and the inability. The live crowd is a huge part of a big match. When the crowd's into it, it's just a better match. So watch your favorite all-time match on mute. It's not as good. I just think it might make some sense if you wanted the crowd to be as into it as they could be to have it on second to last.
Sure, do that. Do that at Full Gear.
Yeah,
not when you're crowning. You're an inaugural champion, okay. A first ever champion. The spotlight needs to be solely on that guy, solely on Hangman Page, solely on Chris Jericho. And look, here's the deal. The audience pays to be there, right? But you don't really ever, you're not performing for the live audience. You're never really performing for the people that are there. You're never really playing to those people, because there might be 20,000 people in that arena. But how many more millions are there on the other side of that camera lens?
Yeah.
Those are the people that you're performing for. Those are the people that you want to come into the arena when you come to their town. Those are the people that you're focusing on. It's great to have the people here. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your support, but I'm performing for the people at home. So that, you know, that's where the spotlight of the AEW heavyweight title needed to be. That's why it needed to be last, so people can feel a main event type match.
It definitely, I don't believe that the main event always has to, and it has taken me some time to come to this realization. I used to freaking hate when the title wasn't on last. And then, you know, like,
I'm okay with the title not being on last. But not when you're crowning your first champion.
All right. Any other AEW stuff before we move on?
No, we can get going.
I think that pretty much covers it. All right. So everybody's hero, Ric Flair. He's putting himself opposite the WWE right now. You know, Becky Lynch is calling herself the man, and that's derived from her rivalry with Charlotte Flair, saying, you know, and Rick always said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Becky beat Charlotte, so she became the man. Rick wants to get paid for this. They're marketing it. She sells shirts that say the man. Rick wants a payday.
Great. Great.
Do you really think he'd go through suing the company?
Yes. Like, I really do.
Do you think... what kind of adverse effect do you think that would have on Charlotte?
Stranger things have happened, but not as much as one would think. I think she's her own entity.
Yeah,
I think she's her own person. They know what they have with her. Look, they know Rick is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They are very well aware of the financial problems Rick has had in the past. They are very well aware of every issue Rick has ever had. I don't
know,
man.
Divorces are expensive.
Yeah, especially when you have five of them. I don't know, man. I just think this is crazy, even for Ric Flair. Like, I just called myself the man. You go to, like, Bill, you're the man. Like, you're gonna sue me for using that? Like, that's just insane.
And it's, I'm very.
That's like LeBron James trying to trademark Taco Tuesday. That is just absolutely. Yeah, like, next level insanity.
I understand that. Like, I get it to a certain point. Yes, you did coin the phrase to be the man. You got to beat the
man. And he owns that. Great.
Did Rick ever.
She's not saying that.
Yeah. Did Rick ever walk around actually calling himself the man?
No.
I don't know that.
No.
I don't know. He was
I've
the
never
nature
heard
boy.
That. He's the nature boy. Yes.
If Becky wanted to call herself the nature boy, that would be a different story.
Completely
but
different
Rick
story.
Rick stole that from somebody. So.
Yeah.
Like, does Buddy Rogers get paid for all Ric Flair's t-shirts?
I just think at one time. Ric Flair was on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. He was this business for a very, very long time. I don't know if it comes with old age or the problems that he's had or, you know, having to come to grips with him not being able to be in the ring anymore. I don't know what it is. But it's very, very sad to see in this current state what Ric Flair has become. It's not even that people, I don't want to say people have lost respect for him, but like, they almost feel sorry for him. They have empathy towards him. And, you know, one of the things I saw, I believe it was TMZ, he did it, he had some type of video out there with TMZ where he said, oh, they still love me, but they lost respect for me. No, they didn't lose respect for you, Rick. They're not paying you. They're not going to be held hostage because you want to get paid over two words that you used
as part of a catchphrase.
As part of a catchphrase for 30 years. Like that's crazy to me.
And WWE can always play the card. Well, we own everything anyway. Nothing's yours. Ain't nothing yours.
His reasoning I saw was because he has to support his family. Come on, Rick.
I mean,
like, come on, man.
This
is insane. One of the things I saw, the company blew him off. Of course they blew him off.
Yeah, man. Like,
he said he called Hunter. Hunter blew him off. Of course.
Wow.
Of course he blew him off.
And that's...
This is nuts. I'm sorry. They have a little thing called NXT that they have that Hunter has to worry about. They have a little thing called switching over to Fox in October that they have to worry about. I'm not totally sure that they're actually really worried about Ric Flair suing them over using the words the man, because they'll end up settling with him out of court anyway. And by the time he's on good terms with the company again, he might not be here. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, and that's like, when you say Hunter blew him off, like, that's what I feel bad about. It's that, it's not, I don't feel like, like you said, ton of stuff going, they don't have time to deal with Ric Flair thinking he should get paid over Becky Lynch's t-shirts. But
I want to be a fly on the wall when somebody came into whoever's office and said, Rick wants us to cut him a check because Becky's using the man and he feels entitled to it. I would have loved to have heard that conversation.
You know, my first thought with this always... You think it's just a storyline?
Nope.
Like, we're setting up?
Nope.
No, me neither. And I think everything's a work.
Nope.
I just think this is Rick trying to...
He was just on television at the Raw reunion.
He was at the Raw reunion. He came out and didn't talk. But yeah, I just think... I feel bad in that I don't want to see a 70-year-old man think he's still limousine riding, jet flying. Listen,
what do you mean?
I just, like...
He still thinks...
Yeah.
Rick still thinks it's 1985.
Yeah, Rick thinks he's the world heavyweight champion still.
And you know what? That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good for you. It's just like, I can't believe Hunter didn't call me back. Dog, this is a billion-dollar company.
Right.
Like, and that's the, like, is Rick going, Rick wants to get this money so he can get paid because he needs to support his family. If he's going to sue the company, that's going to cost him way more. Like, what is a lawyer suing WWE going to cost you?
And the thing about it is, you know, everything Rick said on TV, he did.
Yeah.
You know, big house on the big side of town, the boats, the cars, all that. He had all that. But if he didn't burn through all of his money being the Nature Boy, he would be able to support his family. It's very, you know.
Oh, it's ridiculous to even say he can't.
It's very, very. it's a very simple thing.
First of all his kids are adults. Like, you know, Ashley's the women's freaking. She's the women's revolution by herself.
Sure.
Like, yeah, I didn't. It's just.
It's mind-boggling.
There's something
I just want to chalk all this up to just saying 2019.
Yeah, it's just another, yeah. Something I've really been enjoying on WWE TV lately is the King of the Ring tournament. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, like, I always get psyched up whenever they're like, oh, we're bringing King of the Ring back. I'm like, yeah! And then it's, oh, it's a one-night special on the network. Bad News Barrett's going to win it. No one's going to care in a week. Like, all right, okay. Well, that was fun for those 20 minutes, though. But this one, it seems like they're really featuring, they're making it a big deal. Whoever wins this thing, I think, is going to get a legit push. First of all, I want to ask you, the main reason I wanted to bring this up, it's because it's a question I've been meaning to ask you. So there was a double pin during this tournament. Joe and Ricochet pin each other, mm-hmm. and instead of them eliminating each other and Baron Corbin getting a bye, which is a very heel thing that happens all the time in tournaments, we see it gets moved to a triple threat match. But to set this up, the referee counts the double pin, and then he goes to a headset, and it's like all of a sudden an NFL replay thing, which I thought was a cool kind of, it just seemed different. It was a very different presentation. Then he goes to the back, and it's not till the next segment that we see he's made a rule. There's been a ruling, and there's going to be a triple threat in the next round. Both
guys
advance.
Who is he talking to? Do we know?
Some authority, you know, whoever, Vince, whatever. But my
the
question,
Raw GM,
yeah.
The laptop?
Yeah, he was on the headset with somebody trying to get a ruling like we see in the NFL or the MLB replays. It's different. But what I wanted to know is there an actual rule book? Like, when you were a WWE official, is there a list of the actual rules?
No, because they change weekly.
I was listening to Jim Ross talk recently about it's something that's been bothering me for years now. At one point, closed fist punches just became legal.
Mm-hmm.
There was no explanation for it. It was just like...
I'd still call for it.
Big Show's finish was a closed fist punch, and suddenly, they were legal.
Mm-hmm.
There was never... I was like, is there an actual list of the rules? Like, when you're training to be... There's no rule book?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. But rules would change weekly. I remember there were times where they wouldn't give the refs finishes. Vince legitimately wanted us to count three, which nobody followed. We would always get the finishes from the guys, but that's because that you're just entering in bad territory there. There was a time where Vince didn't want us to count five if somebody was on the top rope. Just, you know,
that's at one point.
Act like you're doing something.
At one point, it was also it was an out of the ring count. To go to the top rope, like you were considered being counted out, and then that stopped, and then it was just you're in the corner, so I have to count, and then it just went away entirely. Another rule that just went away entirely.
Then there was a time where if guys were in the corner, get in the middle of them and physically push them out. God, there was just so many of them.
Yeah, I just it's something.
Literally, it was something every week.
Yeah, it's just something that I wondered, like. When the referees are being trained, do they actually hand them a list of rules, or is it because, you know, it's a freaking work, you call the rules as you need to tell the story? I was just interested, because I do remember, like, reading in the dirt sheets when Vince said, no more learning the finishes, call the match like it's a real match.
Oh,
like,
my God,
I remember when that happened, reading about it.
What a nerve-wracking time.
Yeah. But with five, there are now five guys left. We're going to get the final of the King of the Ring at Clash of Champions. Not Clash of the Champions, just Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
We're going to get the final there. But we have the triple threat between Corbin, Ricochet, and Samoa Joe. We have Elias and Chad Gable on the other side of the bracket. This is a real pick'em to me because I can see all five guys really benefiting. Who do you think it should be, and who do you want it to be?
There's only two people that really benefit from this. Joe is Joe. We already know what he is, what he does, where his place is. Ricochet is a former United States champion. He's not the United States champion now?
No. That's AJ still. Yeah.
That's right. AJ has the belt. Yeah. So Ricochet is a former champion. He's already made. We're cool here. Elias is in the main event.
He's an attraction.
If he's not in main event matches, he's involved somewhere somehow. I would like to see Baron Corbin in some way, some fashion, become King of the Ring. Because one, he's a tremendous heel. But two, this would propel him right back to where he was before he went on the decline. But the person who actually really needs this just to become relevant again is Chad Gable.
Yeah, I think all five could work it some way into their gimmicks. Like, King Ricochet, there's already some, you know, like something there to that, I think. Like just having been Prince Puma and all that, I think there's something to it. I think all five guys could work it into their gimmick well. King of the Ring, to me, always works best with heels. Corbin is the obvious one. I think either Corbin or Joe could take it and become champion like the next month. Everyone else, I think it's a little bit different, their spot on the card. But yeah, Chad, like, I think the perfect spot for him is losing in the final in a great match with Corbin. Like, get the best possible match out of Corbin.
Sure.
And then we have King Corbin, and that fits so well with his game.
Well, a great match also makes Chad Gable as well. He doesn't necessarily have to go over.
Oh, yeah. He's been coming up in 205 and everywhere just because of the great matches he's been having all over the WWE universe. Can't believe I just said that unironically. But he's been featured in a lot of places having great matches, and that's why he's in this tournament. I think that's the perfect spot for him, but this is a real pick'em to me. I can see it working with all five guys' gimmicks, even though I'd prefer it to be a heel, because kings are bad guys. Like, who wants a king? This is America. We revolted against that.
Correct.
But yeah, I think it's cool, and I think all five guys could really be elevated by this. It's been fun. They've actually made it matter. WWE's good again, and it really pisses me off that it took AEW for them to be like, oh, shit, we've sucked for like 3 years, huh? Like, it bothers me that this has been in them the whole time.
See? Competition is good.
Like, CM Punk would still be working here if... maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not still, but like, he wouldn't have just stopped showing up one day.
Yeah, he would have.
If the company... All right, yeah, probably. He's a dick. But you know what I'm saying. Like, we wouldn't have had to go through all this to finally be good again. You could have just made it good. So there's going to be another Raw SmackDown draft. How excited for this are you? I can't believe they're doing this again.
I'm okay with it as long as they stick to it.
Listen, like I always say...
Like, we're clearly splitting the shows here. All right, so... Friday or SmackDown's moving to Fox on Friday, and Raw staying where it is. There's clearly two shows.
Yeah, this is gonna, just in that Raw is on Monday, it's on USA. SmackDown, it's 4 days later. It's not the next night. It's not on the same network. It's not in the same city. It's just a totally different show. I'm cool with that, but please stick with it because this, like, my God,
I'm okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm okay if they legitimately stick to it. Two separate brands, two separate entities. You know, for example, if Roman Reigns is on SmackDown and in a year and a half of nobody showing up on Raw from SmackDown, he appears and it's the biggest thing ever.
That's a big deal.
That's great. I'm for all of that. If they're just going to blow this thing by December and it's going to be a dumpster fire, why even do it?
Well,
so, I mean, it's really, I'm really at a 6-1 way, half a dozen the other thing here.
Yeah, no, I always like, just like in baseball, I'm cool with the American and National League being different when they're different. But since they just play each other all the time now and there's no actual difference except one gets to play with different rules than the other, like, I don't see the
literally
point.
One has a DH,
exactly.
One doesn't.
Yeah, like, and there's no other difference, and there's, like, interleague play is year-round, and the All-Star game, no one gives a crap.
Not for nothing, like, the American League sucks.
It's just whatever. But, like, when they're... if they only ever met at the All-Star game in the World Series, it would be freaking cool.
Yeah.
But since that's not the case, and that's the same way I see Raw and SmackDown, make it one show or make it two entirely different shows. And I really hope that they stick with this. And I like the way they're formatting it. Raw has always been the A show, and these things have always started with Raw, and it makes sense because it's Monday and then Tuesday or Monday and Thursday, whatever. This is going to start week two of SmackDown on Fox. They're going to get the big rating week one, and then they're hoping to carry it over. And then the second night of the draft will be on Raw the following week. I think that's a good idea.
Cool.
But we do have some NXT news as well.
Oh, yeah?
With what's happening with their format.
Talk to me.
The first two shows, because they're starting 2 weeks ahead of time, there's going to be two NXT on USA shows before AEW starts on TNT.
That's,
the first two...
I love the move. I really do.
It's moving to a two-hour format. However, the first 2 weeks, when there's no competition, hour two, not on USA. It's going to be on the network. Starting October 2nd. That's right. Starting the week AEW starts. Yeah, we're 2 hours on USA now, and it'll be up on the network in like 2-3 days. This is the most, like, I love it, and I'm also like, my God, I can't believe they care this much.
I can.
I understand. All rich people are this petty, and it's part of what drives them to be that successful. But, like, my God, look at that company and think they are going to challenge you in any way right away is hilarious.
Well,
to me.
Vince looks at this as a business, and there's nobody who knows better than Vince that ratings have been on the decline, business has been on the decline. And look, if there's 2 million viewers that are watching Monday Night Raw and that are watching SmackDown Live, he understands that there's a real chance that they're going to be fighting over 2 million viewers. And he understands there's a real chance that this thing could be split down the middle. One goes over here, one goes over here. And what if they split this thing down the middle, well, what's that mean? Well, that means business is lost, money is lost, et cetera, et cetera. He's not willing to take that chance. So he's going to do everything he can to get that first foot out forward. Yeah. And that's why I think all of this is a brilliant move from a business standpoint. From somebody that's, you know, on the outside looking in, you can go, oh, wow, that's really petty. But at the same time, he's in the mode of, I have to survive now. It's not really that deep. It's not really that serious yet. But
WCW wasn't that serious.
Correct.
You know, you didn't think that, but they had Hogan, so it was like, all right. And then, but the thing, like, on a different level, I don't think they'll be in, like I keep saying, this will be fun. They're head-to-head Wednesdays. I got to believe at some point it'll be on Mondays, but we'll see. That's years down the line in my mind. But I think Vince a little bit sees this as profits are at an all-time high right now. No matter what you want to say about the rest of their business, they are freaking profitable. But there was more buzz around wrestling than ever when there was a war.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of starting that.
Well, it's not.
Because
the WWE is a thing right now.
But NXT isn't W. I mean, it is, but it's a different name.
AEW is not a thing yet.
Yeah.
One is very real. The other one isn't.
By putting it on TV and making it so that it's head-to-head with their... Because on the network, it's different than regular TV. I think it props... so much that they'll hurt WWE's business. I think it just puts so much more of a spotlight on NXT that it also puts a spotlight on its competition a little. I think it's a next-level move not to prop up AEW by a half of a percent, because it just makes it a little bit more of a competition, and people love the idea of it being a war.
But not for nothing, again, unless you are a hardcore wrestling fan or watch Law & Order reruns on TNT, you don't know that AEW exists. So Vince has already won.
But you also probably don't know that NXT exists.
Sure you do.
You've heard of it, but have you ever seen it? Like, it's the same, I mean...
But if you're watching Monday Night Raw, you know exactly what NXT is.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Like, those guys come up and get very little reaction usually.
Yeah, but NXT is still integrated into the television shows.
It is somewhat. How many people actually watch NXT? Very few.
a fraction of the audience, yes, but you still know what it is.
Have there been any AEW pay-per-view buy numbers come out? I haven't seen any PPV buys.
I actually remember seeing something not too long ago. What was their first one? Not All Out, or not All
Double
In.
Or Nothing.
Double
was
or Nothing.
The first one that they actually did.
Was like insane numbers. Like, so, if I remember correctly, and don't hold me to this, I don't remember exactly, but like, it was like the single largest wrestling pay-per-view non-WWE bought in history.
I mean, not surprising.
What, you know, and whatever that means. So, which, you know, you mean to tell me they beat every WCW pay-per-view ever?
There's so many, like, more, there's just more people in the world than there was 20 years ago. It's an accomplishment. I'm not trying to belittle it, but it doesn't necessarily surprise me. But no, AEW at this point, not actually competition. I think putting NXT head-to-head with them props them up a tiny little bit, a little bit of a fraction, and it just creates this perception of a war that makes wrestling more interesting to everybody.
Nah.
I think it's a side effect. Yeah. I think it's a profitable side effect because Vince knows that business was better, there was more buzz, his people were in the mainstream more, even though there's more money now. Like, they're not on the wrestlers aren't on the cover of magazines anymore. It's not the same as it was. He's not on Cigar Aficionado.
But it's not going to be. It's never going to be.
Maybe,
there's
maybe
only
not.
One Attitude Era. There's only one Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're never going to replicate that. I don't care who the billionaire is, Vince McMahon, Tony Khan,
Do you think
Ted
they
Turner.
Said that about Hogan? I bet they did.
It's a different time.
Yeah, and they said that too. I just think it's very possible we have wrestling come more into the mainstream than ever because they're head-to-head.
No, because back then, wrestling was still in a lot of ways, legitimate. The curtain's been pulled back way too much now.
But people watch more scripted television than ever.
Yeah.
Like, you take it the same way. You sit down and binge 9 seasons of something
I
in
just
a row.
Don't,
like, and people watch it that way
I
now.
I don't think it's physically possible because what happened is when the WWE bought WCW, when the WWE bought ECW, and they screwed up that entire thing, they lost a very large fraction of the wrestling audience that they've never gotten back and won't get back. So in a lot of ways, there are less people watching wrestling today.
Oh, there are fewer people watching wrestling now, but I do think you will get some of them back if people go, hey, there's this new thing coming up. It's on TNT again, and they're... Like I just think there's a way to get, I don't know. Are they going to be doing fives and sixes in the freaking ratings?
Nobody.
No, because
nobody
that
ever
shit
is.
Doesn't exist. Like, nope. There's just a million channels now. I don't have cable and have like 90 channels.
Yeah.
So, like, but like, I think this helps the overall wrestling business just because the perception of a war boosts everybody up.
The perception of a war is only a perception among hardcore wrestling fans.
But that's what it was to start last time, and then it became something else. Both have to be good. If NXT sucks and AEW sucks, then no one's going to care. If both are really good, then it becomes something.
I guess we're going to have to see.
We will have to see, and that is all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes this week. Didn't have time to get into the Bayley heel turn. I know how much of a mark you are for Bayley. Sit down in your seat. We may get to it some point or another. Relax, Kevin.
Woo-hoo.
Relax. I'm sorry. It's so good. Anyway, yeah, that's all the time we have for Smarks and Stripes. My name's Bill Matz. For Kevin Keenan, Turtle will be back with us at some point. Have a great week, everybody.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.